Let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight, back up to Romans chapter 5. And as we begin tonight, I do want to read this to you. This is that precious daily light that I speak of often, that my mom would read to me each morning. And thanks be to God, my wife and reads to my children. Thank you, Jesus. But I just wanted to give you this. Again, to how perfect the Lord is in his timing for things. This is the morning of April 10th. I am black but comely. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Ye are complete in him, perfect in Christ Jesus. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, I read something like that and I think, oh Lord, it's got to be face to face right now. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But tonight, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, this fifth chapter is really something. And as we've heard that expression, oh, there's riches in their hills. You know how they would say that? And hallelujah, there is. And I thank God for this. But we left off in the 12th verse. And I appreciate how Brother Schofield, if you have a Schofield Bible, he makes a sweet little note here about the 12th verse. The 12th verse, he says, really, if you think about where the Lord has taken us since chapter 3, verse 23, this 12th verse of the fifth chapter is a continuation of the thought from chapter 3, verse 23. From chapter 3, verse 23 to right now, God had to remind us and encourage us that we're justified by faith. He had to encourage us, praise God in his great, great grace, and how, praise the Lord, we have been so transformed in him all by his grace. But let's go ahead and pick it up here in chapter 5, and we'll begin reading from verse 12. So, and here's the reason why we know this, because we get the big wherefore. So because of all of this, this is what we have now, wherefore. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's hard for some people to receive that, isn't it? But someday they're going to know it. If they don't know it now, it's too bad. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But now, as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Now, as we start this off, poor Adam. Poor Adam. Couldn't help himself. And praise be to God, he couldn't. And praise be to God, I couldn't. And praise be to God, you couldn't. And I thank the Lord because, praise be to God, we're talking about the wondrous plan of grace. And that is who is spoken of here in this 12th verse. The Word of God is telling us here of Adam, and he is referred to as the first man. And brothers and sisters, in that garden, that is where sin was introduced to man. Now, sin had existed before that. Obviously, Satan fell, and those angels that went with him, they were cast out. So there was a lot of sin going on there. But this was where sin was introduced to man, was in that garden. But never forget this, brothers and sisters. God allowed it. God allowed it. Part of the absolute perfect plan could not have come forth without the fall of man. This did not catch God by surprise. This was all perfectly ordered for the plan of his Son. That precious blood that would be so poured out for us, this was all such a masterpiece divine plan. But at that moment, brothers and sisters, of Adam's transgression, all men were doomed. Man's state was sinful, period. Period. Now, we're not talking about, in a sense, our individual sins. We're talking about the state of man. We're talking about that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Brothers and sisters, judgment came upon all, as it says in the word here that we've just read, unto condemnation through Adam's sin. All died. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, and let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read just the first part of 22. And as it says there, for as in Adam, all die. Now we're going to get here to a moment, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And we're thankful for these things. But brothers and sisters, through Adam in that fall, death. And yes, the Word of God tells us that the wages of sin is death. Sin has a penalty, and that penalty is death. And we can talk, and I know it's been said, well, if Adam had not sinned, he would have never died. Well, that's true, but that's kind of a non-event. Amen. Praise be to God. I thank the Lord for that because we needed this all to transpire to magnify the one, Jesus Christ. But you see here as we read, even though Moses' law was not in the garden, it wasn't at that time. It came later, obviously, as it was given to Moses, but we even rejoiced how Abraham didn't even have the law. It came later as when Moses would bring it forth. But even though there was no law, Adam broke a commandment of God. And he did. He disobeyed God. God told him very specifically not to eat of that forbidden fruit. But you know what? He did it. And sin at that time and at that moment came upon every man, and into every man there is that sinful nature. Again, as we've read and as it stated in that little daily light, we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. From the fall of the first man, Adam, we are guilty. I thank God there is none righteous, no, not one. Wonderful. We're all the same in Adam. And praise be to God, we're all one in Christ. That's so wonderful to know this, brothers and sisters, that, see, God is not a respecter of person. He would that all men be saved. He died for the sin of all the world. And thanks be to God again that he has brought that so freely to us. Guilty, guilty us. But it is wonderful, brothers and sisters, that our Redeemer, the second man, Adam, Jesus Christ, appears, and now grace reigns. His death on the cross takes care of all of the disobedience that was done in that transgression that was given to all men that Adam had in that garden. Universal death, isn't that something? Because that's really what it brought. But universal death, praise be to God, has just meant universal justification by faith. By faith. Now you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. You're only a child of God when you're born of God. That's why by God's grace it says born again. And don't ever be ashamed of that term. Even though man does all of these things, you know that that's just principalities and spiritual wickedness that does all that. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Born again is such a beautiful thing because it's the word of God. And hallelujah, it's me, it's you. We have been born of God. And we're thankful to the Lord that again in that birth, we are now the sons of God. But Jesus Christ, without sin, as we read here, is the free gift to all. And think of this. It wasn't just to restore man back to where and how Adam was in the garden before the fall. See, he didn't die to go back to restore Adam where he was. No, no, no. We got the better thing. Hallelujah. And this was a better thing that was going on right at that time in that precious death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, his death on the cross was not to just put him back in the place of no sin and no death, but by the blood of Jesus, we would be imputed his righteousness, not just a man that could live forever, but sons and heirs of God. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. It would have been a wonderful thing to be Adam in that garden talking to God and having a good time. But I'm telling you what, when it came to the time and it came to the point, oh my goodness, now I get to believe in the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Could you imagine the excitement of Adam? Has that really hit him? I'm serious. Can you imagine that? Yeah, I know that God made me. I talk with God and all of those things. But now, by the blood, I'm a son. I'm not just created in his own image. I'm a son. That's something. See, and only grace can do that. Only the word of God can comfort you like that. You think about how he had to be comforted. That relationship that he had. And then it was all shut up and it was gone. And you think of the guilt and remorse that that couple could have had towards one another. Huh? I'll tell you what, you know, look at that. Because you can see that just in Adam and Eve and the things that they had to go through. And understand how they could have blamed one another and then they could have blamed themselves. See, the enemy wants to take you all of these different places. But the blood of Jesus wants to take you one place, and that's to the cross. Just as if I never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? So you again, brothers and sisters, all we have is the word of God. That's it. You can try to comfort yourself with different things. You can try to satisfy yourself with different things. But praise be to God, our comfort and our only comfort is always in the word of the Lord. So through the death of Christ, through saved by grace, I was crucified with Christ. Amen? See, isn't that precious? By that grace, by that saving grace, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's born again. That's born again. See, nevertheless, I live. Born of the Spirit of God, Christ liveth in me. Now he liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Praise be to God, just like Jesus. Yes, upon this earth, yes, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, redemption through the blood of Jesus did not restore us, but I love how that sister used to say it. I'm brand new. Brand new. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Born again, born righteous, holy, justified by Jesus Christ. Because Christ liveth in me, I now am a son of God. Let's turn over to John chapter 3. And let's go over to verse 8. Is that right? No. 18, I'm sorry. 8's a good verse too, but we're going to stay with what the Lord has for us here. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't that wonderful how he tells us these things? But he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. It just stays condemned. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity is just exactly what it is. It's condemned. So it's just continuing on and condemned. It's continuing on in that death. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, the simplicity of salvation. That threshold, that microscopic mustard seed of faith. How wonderful. How wonderful. I was laughing the other day. I said, nah, that's that greed in the belly. No wonder religions couldn't build all these giant churches with that simplicity. They had to put rules and regulations and all of these different things so they could help you along the way with it. They could shower all that guilt upon you, and then you'd have to come to them for it to be released and relieved. Praise be to God. That veil has been rent in twain. Isn't it wonderful? And I don't mean to make light of what I just said. It's a tragedy. It's robbing people. It's sending a lot of people to hell. And it is. Because they have confidence in man. They have confidence in a religion. And as it says right here, have confidence in one thing. And that's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, don't have confidence in yourself. Don't. Don't do that. You won't grow with confidence in yourself. You won't grow when you think that you really are something. You will not grow when you think you have arrived. You will not grow until you know that he must increase and I must decrease. He loves the lowly. He can do something with lowly. He can do something with humble. You know what he does with humble? He gives grace. You know how you grow? You grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wonderful stuff, brothers and sisters. How simple. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. See him. Amen. See, I don't go from glory to glory into my image. A lot of people think so. Huh? Into his image. Grow up into him in all things. It's so wonderful. Praise be to God. And I got to stop on that or I'll jump into Sunday. Oh my, all right. That'd just give you a hint of the rejoicing that the Lord's put in my heart. But wonderful here. And so this is magnificent, brothers and sisters, it is, because it's just the love of God. Let's go ahead on back here to verse 17, back over here in Romans. And as you look at 17 here, there's a beautiful thing going on, and let's go ahead and read it. And in verse 17, again it says, "For if," and this is from chapter 5, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." See, this is the acquittal that was given at that moment for the whole human race. Never forget this, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all men. All men. Not some, but all. That acquittal was there for every single sin, every single life. It was all there. Go over and let's read from John 1:29. I'm back over here to John 1:29. And so sweet how John the Baptist say, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Don't ever take that lightly. You should rejoice again more than you've ever rejoiced in hearing that right now. Praise be to God. He taketh away the sin of the world. You have to understand this. Whom he has made free is free indeed. Let me tell you something. Where there is no law, there is no sin. And praise be to God, the freedom that we have, the life that we have, that we have been imputed, praise God, his righteousness. We are holy. We are sons. Praise the Lord. As God deals with us, he is dealing with his son. There is no difference. I thank God that we can come boldly to the throne of grace in that way. See, he set the way for all, our precious Lord and Savior. He said so clearly in Scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. See, there's no question in the Word of God. There's no gray areas. I thank God it's all light. It's just light. And it's transparent, praise be to God. And yea, the deep things of God, even by his Spirit. I know that there's folks sometimes, well, they came out of this Christian belief and that Christian belief, and they can get in here and, you know, they say, oh, I just don't like that Spirit stuff, or I don't like that bridal thing. Let me tell you something. Until you get filled with the Spirit, until you yield to the Spirit, you will never embrace and love the bridal truth. It won't happen. Because by the word of his grace, it cannot happen. His word is true. The only way you can be guided into all truth is by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. What couldn't somebody understand that the disciples that were with Jesus for about 3.5 years, daily, listening to him, touching him, holding him, they loved him. As they said so sweetly, where else are we going to go? Hallelujah, they loved him. Praise God. What a bunch of outcasts. But they were hanging with the biggest outcast in a lot of ways. Oh, yes. You think he was more despised than any man. And they knew that he, praise God, was the Christ. So they knew, amen. And they knew him. They did. They knew him. And they knew him as a wonderful friend. They knew him as that Christ. They knew him as that Savior. They knew him as that one that would stick closer than a brother. They did. But you know what? He says, oh, but there's a way that I want you to know me. I want you to know me in the power of my resurrection. I want you to know me in the fellowship of my sufferings. I want you to even be made conformable unto my death. That's when they ran. They didn't hear that, but they were feeling that. But as Jesus Christ told them so sweetly, now you're going to fear, you're going to panic, you're going to do a lot of things. You're doing it right now. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to go. I'm going to go and I must go so that the Comforter may come. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? And it's so opposite. You say, no, wait a second, Lord, you are the comfort. Oh, no, no, no. You can't receive my comfort until the Comforter comes. You know what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about Holy Ghost time. You know what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Lots of things can be going on, but there is a peace that passes all understanding, praise be to God, when it is Holy Ghost time. Yeah. That full and overflowing Spirit, praise his name as it comes down. But he said, I must go because, you know what, there's many things I want to say to you. There's many things I want to say to you. And can you imagine Jesus wanting to say things to you? You think you want to hear things. Let me tell you something. He really wants to say things. Yes, he does. And he said, but you know what, honeys, you can't bear them now. But I'm going to tell you something. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Oh, yes. And you know what? He's been with you. And he shall be in you. But when he comes and when he gets in you, oh my goodness, he's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. He's going to take the things of mine and he's going to show them unto you. Isn't that marvelous? That's what he does and that's what he did. And praise be to God, that's what he's doing. So this is what we're believing. And when you believe that and you go on with it, he's not going to withhold anything from you. That was Paul's message.
I have not withheld a thing. How could Paul not withhold a thing? It was only the Spirit that was in Paul that could not withhold a thing. So they were given the whole counsel of God. They were given, praise God, the word of his grace that would take the most holy faith to believe. Praise God. Don't be ashamed of these things. Yea, the deep things of God by my Spirit. How many times you hear when you're speaking with people, oh, that's not for us. The only thing I pray to God ain't for me is holding a palm. And I mean that. I know he hasn't appointed that to me, but if I choose that, oh my, what a shame. What a loss. But thanks be to God again for his great, great grace. But see, as we read this 129 and we understand that he died for all the sin of the world, what's really being set here on this stage, brothers and sisters, as you go back into verse 17, look at that, what it says. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. I want to focus on the they that receive. Amen? That's me. Praise be to God. I'm a little selfish. I want you to know that. And I thank God that I was instructed by ones that truly, by God's grace, followed Paul as he followed Christ. And when you go in there with hands empty and never leave and let him keep filling it up. Praise the Lord. Now, they which receive, they that believe. Not only cleansed by grace, not only atoned, but look at that, what it's saying there, an abundance of grace. Whenever you see that word abundance in the Word of God, that's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. We don't even have English words to get into that. It's so exceeding and multiplied grace, it's multiplied abundance. Let me tell you something, that's what the gift of the righteousness of God is. And it says here, shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand something here. And the Lord was really encouraging my heart that this gift of righteousness of God, of the righteousness of God that shall reign in life by Jesus Christ, that's not just for everlasting life, brothers and sisters. That's for more abundant life right now. Did you know that? That righteousness of God, praise be to God, is for more abundant life right now. We're talking about the righteousness, praise God, of God to grow up in us. Do you understand that? Do you know the righteousness of God grows up in us? Yes, I am righteous and I am holy, but praise be to God, you all start out as just a little Lord of all. You didn't just come out all knowledge, believe it or not. If you ever come out like that, my goodness. Well, I'm going to stop right there. I'll get myself in trouble like I did on Sunday. But you receive, praise the Lord, from him, this precious righteousness. It's him. But I'm going to tell you, it grows up in us. And as Brother Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll tell you what, I've attained to something. I've attained to the exalted rank of righteousness. That's what the crown of righteousness is. So as we grow in him, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this precious righteousness of God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grows up in us. And then as that precious assurance floods our soul, what peace and rest that we have. You think about what God has given and what he's saying in here. This abundance of grace, the soil is perfect, the watering is perfect, and we have the one that gives us the increase that is perfect. I'll tell you what, we are without excuse to grow up into him in all things. That is the truth. It is absolutely the truth that we would grow up, hallelujah, into that full and perfect and complete, hallelujah, man. Wonderful to rejoice in the man I hope to be. But then there in verse 18, I want you to notice something here because of all of this. Here we go. But in verse 18 and 19, let's go ahead and read this. And then I want to point something out to you. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. See, it just came upon all men. You know, people say, well, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a this. No, you are. It's just that way. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's it. All right? And this is exactly what it is. And yes, because the plan of God, because of the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And see, people get hung up in that when they want to be stiff-necked, when they don't want to believe, as it said so sweetly, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. We're going to read for a minute where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's what's so wonderful about this. Can't you just get over it? He's God. You understand that? You ever get in a workplace and something like that, and you got, like, there's an owner there or whatever, and, you know, everybody just, you know, most people just kind of get going along and say, okay, well, this is what it is. You know, we just work, pounding it, whatever it is. But, you know, there's always a couple in there, they just never get over it. That's my, that owner. Can't believe he does this. Can't believe he does that. Now, I could understand that's a man. But we're talking about God, who's perfect. God who's perfect, and God who is perfect in love. See, you're hung up on self and yourself. You want to magnify self. But again, we're talking about God. And I believe God has the right to choose who he wants to magnify. And in God's plan, so beautifully orchestrated, the only reason that I was even created is because of God. Do you realize that? The reason any of us are here is because of God. And God made man in his own image. Isn't that amazing? That he cared for man like that? And gave him truly the free will to worship, to praise him. And he did. I just marvel. God wanted a vessel to freely praise him to the praise of the glory of his grace. And that's where you do, and there are times you could be angry, there's times you could go, you know, you'd want to give somebody a knuckle shot, but truly, truly, you hurt for them. You're sad for them. By God's grace, because of the love of Jesus, I do understand. As he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah. See, these ones that march around that are Christians with hate signs and things of that nature, that's not the love of God. I'm not complying with ungodliness. I'm not going to comply with sin. But I'll tell you what. The word is love. And it is. So I just encourage us in that. But here in verse 18, it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came. Isn't that wonderful? The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, in these two verses, I really want to point out, especially the all of verse 18. There's alls in verse 18, and there's many in verse 19. Now, let's go to 18. All condemned because of the fall. Amen. All condemned because of that fall, Adam's fall. All dead in trespasses and sin. All have come short of the glory of God. And yet because of Jesus, the free gift of justification came upon all men. He said, I would that all men be saved, praise God. And he didn't just say it. It's because he died for the sins of all the world. He died for all of it. So you can see it was all there. That complete plan of salvation was there for every man. That atonement was made for every man. All that had to happen, as we read in 1 John 1:29, just to believe in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's why it says at the very end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Why not now? That's not a good time to be doing it. And I don't mean to say it lightly. That's a very sad thing. But, brothers and sisters, that is exactly what it is. Praise God that we know that but now we are the sons of God. See, and it goes on to say, only many are made sinners. And I want you to understand that are made. That are made means come forward, means they choose. They exhibit themselves. So think about how that is. You do choose. You choose not to believe in Jesus. You do. And you choose to believe in the Lord. And you choose this day whom you're going to serve. Praise be to God. We understand that. And we understand it's all grace that causes us to choose by faith and to live by faith. But brothers and sisters, all are born in sin. But many, I will say, thanks be to God, didn't stay there. So all those sinners didn't remain in sin. And all, praise be to God, just became many. I'm thankful that all aren't sinners. Aren't you thankful? I'm so sad that many are sinners. But I thank God that here came the just. The just shall live by faith. And by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The blood, brothers and sisters, is for all, but it must be applied to become one of the many made righteous. Let's go back over. Let's see here. Is that where I wanted to go? I thought it was maybe 1 John. Let's see where that is. I didn't have it written down, but I was reading it in the office before I came out. Yeah. Let's see here. Yes. Let's go to 1 John 3, 8, and 9. That's 1 John 3, 8, and 9. Now really get this, brothers and sisters, because this is so marvelous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Did you hear that? He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. All right? For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, that's not just for me. That's for you, you. Matter of fact, the ones sitting on the back pew over there that are the sons of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful that we are one in Christ? See, that's why it's so important oftentimes, brothers and sisters, to not just read one verse, but read that in context. It's precious that we rejoice, but understand why everything wound up to verse 9. It's because he tells us very clearly that he that committeth sin is of the devil. But then it goes on to say very clearly, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Because whosoever is born of God is not of the devil. See how beautiful that is? See how wonderful that is? And why? Because for his seed remaineth in him. Christ liveth in me. And what does that mean? And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Praise be to God. Now do you understand when we fail? Just like David when he said, before thee and thee only have I sinned. When he was talking about his transgression in a sense with Bathsheba and all of that. But if you really look at that word sin, it wasn't a sin as unto death. It was actually failure. It's failure. Because why? Because he that is born of God doth not commit sin. Now this is not, again, encouraging that we sin willfully that grace may abound. That isn't where we're going with this. This is to understand whom he has made free is free indeed. This is to understand that the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, and I do live that in the flesh. Praise be to God. That's what's so marvelous, is I have this weak and sinful flesh, but yet, praise the Lord, who I am is Christ liveth in me. That's what's so amazing. So we can understand then in these verses, brothers and sisters, when we fail, and let's just call it when we, I don't like to say it like this, but as most people would understand it, in that a sin, as the world would look at it or as the Bible would define a sin, we understand that that's not us. That is a lie. That is a lie. Because the Word of God tells me that he that is born of God doth not commit sin. So see, that's really not my life. That's not who I am in Christ. I have been completely not only delivered from that, forgiven from that. That is not who I am in Christ. That's the life that needs to be encouraged. Not that we condone the failure or condone the transgression. As the Word of God says, don't let sin reign upon your life. And why? Because you can't serve two. You can't. When those things are reigning upon our life, we have distractions. Amen, we do. I think of one of the ones that we've read about lately. There was King Solomon, such a fine man, such a wonderful man, such a brilliant man, built that wonderful tabernacle, all of those things, such a godly one. And God had told him, oh, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to continue this as long as you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy strength. And you know what? He went after idols. That was that first love thing, see? And that fellowship was severed. And that's where, brothers and sisters, this is getting at. And I do, again, emphasize the thing that the Lord emphasizes over and over and over is don't go after idols. Love him. Love him. With all thy heart, soul, and might. With all thy heart, soul, and strength. That's what he wants. He wants that love. Sure, we're going to make mistakes. You know, think about it in your own marriage, okay? And I'll put myself out there. I make mistakes. I fail. I say the wrong thing. Now, that does hurt my wife. I know that there's probably been times you might be concerned about that, but the one thing you can ask her that she wants, the only thing she wants, is that I love her always. Do you get it? How simple is that? Tell me, two that are here tonight that never failed in their marriage in some way, shape, or form. You understand what I'm getting at. You didn't say the wrong thing. You didn't get mad, didn't get upset. But the main thing is that the love continues. And see, and then that love, praise God, it doesn't take advantage of it. You understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't say, well, I'm just going to keep treating you bad, but I love you. Huh? Oh, you know, honey, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to go to work again, you know, but I love you. I mean, we're going to get by on love. Yeah, you're going to get by on love. When you love, you prefer the other, don't you? When you love, you want to provide for the other. When you love, you want to support the other. In love, you'll go beyond yourself. Beyond. Amen? Because that really is what love is. So, you're getting this just a little bit here. Like I said, how do you describe tasting a peach, huh? You got to taste it for yourself. But this is what he's getting at here, which is so wonderful. See, he that commits sin is of the devil. And I know that I'm not of the devil because I'm born of God. And being born of God, isn't that wonderful? That, you know what? My goodness, Lord, because of Christ living in me, I don't commit sin. That's the new life that I have. And it remains in me. I don't care what people tell me. Oh, that guy never believed in the Lord in the first place. You see how people try to reason that away. People go off into that are Christians. Saved, very saved, as any of us are saved. They go off after these devilish things, complete devilish things. But you know what? They might bark like a dog, but they're still a sheep. See? When you're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, let's just call it what it is. You're all born a dog. Yep. But in Christ, a sheep, and the seed remains. Isn't that something? Even in nature, I've never seen a dog become a sheep or a sheep become a dog. Huh? You know what I'm saying? So praise the Lord how he does this. And this is where it's at, and that's where we leave it. All right. But now, because we are the sons of God, we rejoice and rejoice because that blood is for all. And praise God, it's applied, and we are righteous because of him. Now going on back over here to Romans, let's go to verse 20. And in verse 20, let's go ahead and read it, because I have to tell you, it really is one of my favorite verses in the whole Word of God. I rejoice in it, and I used to be kind of ornery in it, I'll have to tell you that. But it's a sweet rejoicing to me now, because you know how people would like to put up the Ten Commandments and, you know, this is my life, this is how I live. And I was thinking, no, that is actually on the cross. And praise be to God, it's all been fulfilled. And by faith, it's fulfilled in us. Hallelujah. But it says there in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'll tell you in one little verse how packed with everything it is there. My glory is only in him. This is the proof, brothers and sisters, that the law was not given for a moral compass. The law was not given for something us to shoot for and to attain. The law was given for one purpose, and the law entered to magnify sin. Isn't that wonderful? The law entered to show off sin, to show it, to reveal its abundance, to show how overwhelmingly impossible it was for man to attain any righteousness. As we used to hear many times, you got a 10-link chain. How many links does it cause to break, to throw you right over the chasm? Just a one. Just a one. We understand that. But once you do see this, how wonderful and magnificent this master plan of God that magnifies only one thing, and that's his son. Brothers and sisters, this verse tells us there's an absolute reliance and dependence on the only and one thing that could or will ever save us, and that's his grace. That's what it is. His son, his wonderful son, full of grace and truth. This is breathtaking to me. The proof beyond that no man could ever write this. No way. My goodness. No one could ever contrive this. This is such a glorious plan to magnify only one. It had to be God for his son. And this is why this magnifying of sin through the law is so wonderful, so grace could much more abound. That's what it is. See, he magnified all this sin that it just seemed like, oh my goodness, it's everywhere. It's in everything. It's all man can do. But he did it all so grace could much more abound. So grace could be much more magnified. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. In Jesus Christ, sin never had a chance. Sin never had a chance. You talk about being used. Oh, hallelujah. It is all to be used to magnify grace. What did Jesus say of that one who was richer, who's been given more? Well, I guess it's her that sinned the most. Boy, they sure didn't like hearing that, did they? Wow. Isn't it wonderful? See how he proves it over and over? See, by the law illuminating, and I mean the law illuminated it, our complete guilt. Amen?
The law illuminates that we're total failures. Oh, it's exciting. That the law illuminated death and disobedience. Ah, hallelujah. It only magnifies the height, the length, the breadth, and the width of the grace of God. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, wonderful. So the superabounding grace covers a multitude of sin. The grace that has forgiven all my sin, and notice that, the grace that hath forgiven all my sin. See, it's not forgiving me moment by moment. All that forgiving was done on the cross. There's a difference, big difference. I am forgiven and you are forgiven. He has put my sin and your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. And he did it on the cross. I had to get that one time because I was so caught up into the forgiveness as I went until I really lived the freedom and the liberty of Christ, the forgiveness that was done when it was finished. What is never to be remembered again mean to you? I can't remember. Oh, I do remember. It remembers that it's not remembered. And thank the Lord that it was forgiven on that cross and finished, never to be remembered again. And now what do we have? We have the grace to yield. Isn't that wonderful? See, when you're free, brothers and sisters, and you love and appreciate and are thankful by the grace of God, you know what you yield to? You yield to more grace. And that grace, praise the Lord, that's there that you can yield that Christ may reign in you. Reign in you. That, praise the Lord, that he causes you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Grace to superabound to every good work. Not grace to just get by as a Christian, but grace to superabound. Grace to yield, grace to grow, grace to run from glory to glory, grace to be seated in the midst of the throne with him. That's grace. That's great grace. That's divine grace. That's the grace for grace. And it is. Hallelujah. And that's what he wants us to take. See, when we completely deny that self, don't give any room for self. Deny self. And that's not me finding it. I just lay it down because in light of the glory of God, I understand that self is nothing. The self is what defeats me. My selfishness, my self-righteousness, my self-indulgence, whatever self you want to say, it's self, 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 self. I got to launch off the land of self and get out into the sea of grace. And that's what it is. It cannot be mixed. And Lord, help us to know if we really want to take up our cross and go with him and to follow him, it's going to be him alone. It's going to be nothing of me and it's going to be all of him. What of me picked up that cross? Nothing, because self just went to the side and it had to be the power of Christ that took the cross up for me. Amen. Again, little lumps of clay, you do nothing. You do nothing. He gave everything in that lump, but praise the Lord, he's got to grow it all up. He's got to make it. He's got to mold it. And it's going to be his hands that do it all. So even though, as we wrap this up tonight, sin and death had us, abundant grace reigns and has freed us. Isn't that wonderful? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. None. None. So you know what? Forget those things which are behind. I don't care if your sweet Christian brother, neighbor, whatever, wants to remember those things that are behind. You're just going to have to leave them behind, remembering those things, and go. But be lovely.
Because when you're ugly, you didn't leave it either. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's not, love's the only way you're going to go on. Love is going to take you away from those things. God help us. Sometimes it can be, and it can work both ways. Sometimes it's so easy to forgive somebody else for what they did, but yet we live in self-condemnation and a guilt that we can't let go of. Do you understand that? It's just as defeating to my life where I can forgive myself for anything I've ever done because I know the grace of God works for me. But you, that's a whole different story. Huh? You see, I'm still stuck in some type of self. It's either self-guilt or self-righteousness or self-yuck. So, brothers and sisters, the one reign that we live in is grace. And where death reigned, isn't that wonderful? The much more life came to dwell. The much more. I love how my mama says that all the time. She says, oh, honey, I'm living the much more now. She said, I'm just much more in every day. And I know sister over there can say that too. And I pray that the Lord, that so many of us, all of us tonight can say this. But as we go, I want you to read. Think of all the much mores that we've read just in this little fifth chapter. Look at verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now go over to verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be made dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And finally in verse 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's our life. That's what we got. What are you living? Most, I hate to say it, they don't even live much, it's much less. Much more. Much more. Wake up every day and say, oh Lord, I've got much more, and let's show me much more today. There's much more. That's what glory to glory is called, brothers and sisters, much more. We're delivered, hallelujah, justified, complete victory in his life given to us over sin and death. And as we go on, not just the power over death, but the much more power now to live for him. And that's the abundance of grace, brothers and sisters, because we are completely free from all wrath. Only life and abundant life is ours. Now will we walk in it. And over there in Romans 6:4, I'll just kind of jump over there because we're going to, God willing, be there next week. But look at what it says there. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Isn't that wonderful? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That's your life. That's who you are. People say, oh, I have so much trouble with my old man. The old man is dead. I mean, he's just dead. Isn't that wonderful? You can drag around the dead carcass. But don't tell me that for some reason you're thinking that this thing's alive. Because it's not. It's dead. It stinks. And it's not who you are. You are, praise God, brand new. And that, praise his name, is going to be the much more grace through faith as we continue to walk by faith all through this Romans treasure. And that's what it is. So praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.